We'll go ahead and call back to order. And our next agenda item. I have to say, I'm surprised how many empty seats are here for this. Our first hearing of the other one similar to this, we filled half of a gym.
Yep.
So, maybe that's speaking highly of the work that staff did here. Agenda item 2, JH Ranch Zone Change, Z2306, and Use Permit UP2416. And I believe, Ms. Lang, you are point on this.
Correct.
You may begin.
Okay, thank you. Haley Lang, Planning Director. I have a PowerPoint for us today, so I'll wait for Rachel to pull that up. Is it not working?
It's working. It just keeps putting it on the wrong monitor, and I don't know why.
Can you just, if I say next, just click it down, so at least.
Let me just mirror my monitors real quick.
Does anybody know what the initials JH stands for? I'm just curious.
Johnston Hospitality.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's what Johnston Hospitality.
I was curious too. I don't know why Proctor started off with that JH Ranch, whether it was a partnership. Because I think his first name was John, and I don't know where his wife's. So it's just something to carry through.
I think it was the same as your mom's name. I think it was Harriet.
So it'd be John and Harriet.
Yep.
That's why it was
J. And it just so happened Johnston's shared a J.
It keeps putting it on too, but I can't even. I tried that, it didn't work.
Yep.
Keeps putting it on too.
I don't know what she's saying, it's just we have it up there. Just click down for each slide.
Okay, let me try this. sorry guys. If anybody has any ideas.
Can you just scroll down if I do? Yeah,
just open that up and then just click the next slide down.
Yeah, just do that.
That'll work.
All right.
We have a hard copy or an electronic.
Okay. Yep.
In front of us. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Hold on. Let me get Zoom to share my screen so people online can see it.
Haley Lane, Planning Director. So before us today, we have the JH Ranch Zone Change, which is a plan development amendment and use permit project. Next slide. So the project is located south of Aetna on APN 023190510. So there are three different zoning districts within this parcel, which is about 165 acres. And so there is 79 acres of planned development, about 6.5 acres of CR, neighborhood commercial zoning, and about 80 acres of rural residential zoning, which, you know, is open space. Next slide. So this project, the intent of this project is to bring the property into compliance with existing uses, structures, programs, and occupancy. So the baseline historical occupancy of the planned development is 505 persons for their summer months, so from May to September. And that is where their programs are offered. That is where all of the usage occurs. And so within our zoning code, anytime you want to make a change to a planned development, you have to treat it as a zone change, right? And I will, in later slides, you know, talk about the use permit portion of the project. Next slide. So what does this project not include? This project does not include an expansion of historical occupancy. 505 has been the historical baseline, you know, existing conditions of what's been happening on the property. No new structures are being proposed as part of this zone change or use permit. Everything is existing on the ground. There are no new programs that are being offered or proposed as part of this development. What they've offered during the summer months is what they will continue to offer during the summer months. And there's also no new uses that are being proposed. So you can think of this, you know, as compliance efforts for what is existing on the ground currently. Next slide. Prior approvals. So there have been a number of approvals that have taken place for this APN. And so I just wanted to highlight them here. So back in 1970, UP 70-22 was the establishment of the original JH Ranch with 14 trailer park spaces. Then UP 73-55 authorized the allowance of up to 136 people on site. UP 82-37 allowed for the construction of 5 duplex buildings. So then in 1981, we had the first zone change, which established the 6.5 acres to C1 zoning, which was an old commercial zoning that the county had back in the day. And then zone change number 2 was in 1982 that actually established the 79-acre PD. Then there was a zone change amendment in 1989 that fixed a zoning error from C1 to CR in order to be compliant with the Scott Valley Area Plan. And then in 1993, there was a zone change amendment that also was a compliance effort that included 17 existing cabins, a laundry room, and barn. And then today, zone change amendment number 3 is where we are is the current amendment where we are bringing the entire property into compliance. Next slide.
Before you go to the next slide.
Yes.
What I found missing in this whole description, and it's a question I have that fits in here.
Sure.
At what point on this timeline, A, was the restaurant approved, and is the license for the restaurant, which is not served as a restaurant, it's now the lodge, does that use still exist?
That use still exists. It is mentioned in the 93 PD, in the PD, not in the staff report or the ordinance, but in the PD plan, which is like 2 or 3 pages.
Together with a bar.
That is mentioned, and it is permitted.
It's still permitted, and that came in, I believe, in 82, or was that in 73?
So in our records, it's shown in 93 for the lodge.
Well, the restaurant
okay.
was way before the 90s because I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
We used to go up there.
Yeah.
So that has been in existence and sometime
yes.
between 73 and 82.
Right.
Okay. And it's still a viable option.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, the records for JH are kind of choppy, honestly, in terms of what we have with our county records, especially after the fire that took place last year, right? So, you know, with the older, you know, permit approvals from the 70s and 80s, they're pretty bare-boned in terms of, like, how things are described. But I just know that it's for sure called out in that PD document that's easy to find from 93.
Okay. So I will hold off until you're done then.
That
okay.
A liquor license would have been issued also. Sometime then, because they had to
liquor sales and restaurant. So that property record is probably available.
Somewhere. Yeah. How do you see, from experience, and I've shared with Commissioner Fowle in 1975, it was operative then, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Project consistency, so the outlined policies are within the staff report package, but staff found that the project is consistent with the general plan, is consistent with the Scott Valley area plan, and is consistent with our zoning code. Next slide. Plan development master plan. So for all of our plan developments, we are required to have a attached plan development master plan, and so we really took the time to drill down what is currently existing on the property and make it very concise and clear for the commission and for members of the public. And so, as I mentioned earlier, our last approval was in 1993. The PD master plan is really bare bones. And so we essentially, since we have a template from doing other plan development master plans, like for example, the Mount Shasta Ski Park, we use that template for our plan development master plans now. And so what's contained in the master plan is an accurate project description, development objectives, the approved uses and structures and programs, operational information. We also have attached the emergency evacuation plan that's been reviewed by OBS and CAL FIRE. There is also compliance review procedures, which outline a process for the county, you know, to reach out to JH to confirm compliance, or if JH wants to make modifications or anything, there's a process on how they would handle that, how they would handle that process. And then also there is a site plan attached to the master plan document that shows everything that's currently existing on ground today. Next slide. So there's been a lot of questions regarding California Environmental Quality Act review, and so staff is proposing an existing facilities exemption, a class one exemption. So the class one exemption reads that class one consists of the operation, repair, maintenance, permitting, leasing, licensing, or minor alteration of existing public or private structures, facilities, mechanical equipment, or topographical features involving no expansion of existing or former use. So as the proposed project is bringing the property into compliance, and there is no increase and or expansion of occupancy, uses, structures, or programs, the project does fall under a class one exemption. Section 15215, environmental setting, notes that the lead agency must determine whether the project creates an effect on the environment. An environmental setting can be described as the baseline for what is currently occurring and shall not include hypothetical conditions. Next slide. What is baseline? So baseline, as I noted, is within 15125 of the CEQA guidelines. And baseline can essentially act as existing conditions and what's currently happening on ground. We can't use hypothetical situations and things like that. And so, you know, if we wanted to deviate from what's currently existing, we'd have to come up with substantial supporting evidence to do so, and so that's not necessary in this case. Next slide. Common baseline questions. So we've received a lot of questions regarding, you know, authorized uses, unauthorized uses, and things like that. And so CEQA doesn't really speak to unauthorized uses. So are unauthorized uses a part of baseline? The answer is yes. So whether or not they were approved or not approved at the local level, they are still considered as a part of baseline within CEQA. Similarly, do prior illegal actions influence the baseline? The answer is no. CEQA does not speak to prior illegal actions. So legal and illegal, you know, uses that weren't approved are a part of the CEQA baseline, and it doesn't deviate from that. Also, is baseline a policy choice by the lead agency? The answer is no. Baseline is defined within CEQA guidelines. Next slide. Why not enforce the 1993 plan development? So we've received a lot of questions regarding this. And so typically with our plan developments, there is a section 10-61183 that outlines that a use permit is required for plan developments with multi-uses or multi-phases. And so that is the case with JH Ranch, right? There's multiple zoning districts, there's multiple uses, there's a lot of different things happening on this property. And so back in 1993, when there was the plan development amendment, there was actually no use permit that was associated with the 93 approval. So essentially what happened, because what I'm trying to say, right, is with the PD, we always have to have a use permit to make it enforceable. So during the 93 approval, what happened is that it essentially made everything, you know, a by right use, and there was no conditions to make the property enforceable. The 250 occupancy is only mentioned in the PD plan. Again, there's no mention of it in the staff report. There's no mention of it in the zoning ordinance, and there's no use permit, right? So it makes it a little challenging when we're trying to enforce something without conditions of approval. And so with this proposal, there will be an enforceable use permit that the county can use to verify that JH Ranch is compliant. And so that's what is the key missing piece from the 93 approval. Next slide. Agency comments. So we received agency comments from both CAL FIRE and Environmental Health. Next slide. We have received public comments, and I wanted to highlight, you know, folks in opposition, what their concerns were related to. So we received concerns related to water usage and, you know, the current permits with the water system. There was also concerns related to 4290 and 4291 regulations. There was concerns related to, you know, the baseline occupancy that is proposed as part of this project. There were also concerns related to wildfire and evacuation safety and how that would be handled. There were concerns related to the appropriateness of the CEQA analysis that occurred, and also concerns related to noise and also whether or not the ranch constitute as a year-round operation. Next slide. What do the conditions of approval regulate? So this is a high-level summary, but as you can see within the conditions of approval in the staff report package, the, you know, conditions of approval are looking to enforce compliance of the PD plan, compliance of the zoning of the APN. There is no expansion of occupancy included, no new structures included, no new programs included, and no new uses included. So those are all embedded in the conditions of approval to make it very clear that, you know, should the ranch want to propose anything, they will have to go through this process again. Also, there is a 505 person occupancy allowed for summer months where they have their programs that are offered to youth. Also, compliance with all state and local laws and regulations, compliance with their current state water board permits, and also we have a condition in there related to their fire emergency evacuation plan. That's required to be reviewed by OES and CAL FIRE annually, and there will also be an MOU created with OES and JH Ranch to ensure that that process happens. Next slide. So that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions. We obviously have representatives from JH Ranch here, as well as CAL FIRE, Brian Chinoni, and Tom Genie.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Lang at this time by the commission? No? Okay. County departments wishing to weigh in at this time? Works? No. Oh, yes, technically, is there anything you want to bring it up at this time, or are you just going to be available for questions, or are you part of the presentation by JH?
I can be available for questions as they do.
Okay. All right. Would CAL FIRE like to weigh in at this time, or wait until directly asked? All right. So then, Public Health, I'll give you anything to weigh in at this time, or are you patient?
I'm patient.
Okay. So, we've received all communications, both electronic and snail mail. They are in our hands. We will go ahead and begin and open the public hearing. And so, project proponent, I believe Mr. Whipple, you or whoever is going to be representing JH The podium is yours, sir. Please remember name and address for the record.
Great. My name's Rob Hinkle, and that's H-I-N-C-K-L-E. And the address is J. Tranch in Etna, California. My role at the ranch, I came on board April of 2023, and I'm chief of staff, so I answer directly to the president and founder, Bruce Johnston. I'm his chief of staff. Since coming on board, Kip and I have worked closely with the county to bring the property into compliance. We've had multiple meetings here at the county offices and also on site, and done everything we can to be as transparent as possible. We've also made significant efforts over the last 2 years to bring certain projects into compliance. I don't know the exact number. I know it's over 6 different permit applications we've submitted. Many of those have been approved and a few are still pending. I do want to clarify, we are not seeking any type of expansion. We're not looking to add any capacity, facilities. None of that is part of this submission. It's truly to establish our official occupancy at 505 and also get our use permit approved. Our desire, and I'm here representing not only Bruce and our leadership team, but also our board, is to not only get into compliance, but to remain in compliance from this point forward. I know there's a long history of the ranch over the last 45 years. We're looking at this as a new season, both from my leadership, our leadership team, and our board. And we've got a lot of opportunities to do a lot of great things in this community and through our property. And we want to do that with the good graces of the county at our back and as a wind in our sails. I do want to acknowledge the planning department, the community development department, and the Office of Emergency Services. As I said, Haley and Rick have been amazing on this journey the last 2 years. We've spent a lot of time in person in their office, again, inviting them out to the ranch. We've had Brian Shinoni with the Office of Emergency Services on property as well, and we would not be here without their dedicated work and assistance in this. So thank you to the planning department, and thank you, Brian, as well. I want to speak real quick about the 505, and again, Haley's done a great job establishing that this has been our history. My history with the ranch, I visited with my daughter in 2015, so I've actually been physically there 10 years ago, and then I did just come on board full-time in the last 2 years. There's a lot of reasons the 505 with our water, our sewage, and our acreage, why that is the right number. But things that probably this group is not aware of, the way our programs are developed in teams of parent and children, the different ropes courses and activities that we perform during a weekly or a 2 week long session, it's a very tight time constraint series of events. And that 505 is the max that we would ever have to be able to complete our programs as they're designed. And that 505 is broken down into approximately a 300 max on guest. And the difference in that is composed of our crew, which is made up of college students every year, and then our full-time staff. This also is a good dovetail into our season, because our season depends on students across the country not being enrolled in their schools. Also, a big portion of our crew, which is college students, they can't be here if they're supposed to be in classes at their colleges. So the May through September, that is also a very finite season with which we will be hosting guests. The year-round verbiage in the application is purely to make sure that everyone knows we're still open from a maintenance perspective. We have a very small remnant of maintenance crew. Right now it's less than a dozen members. That could grow or decrease, but not by much. That simply maintains the property throughout the year, doing miscellaneous maintenance projects and just keeping the grounds and facilities and infrastructure at a high working capacity. The 100 that's mentioned in this application is that we do periodically host community at the ranch during the off season. So the Berean Church, Kidder Creek, Rockside Ranch may have a board meeting or some type of gathering at the ranch during the day, but we do not anticipate any type of 100 number of people staying overnight at the ranch during the off season, which would be October through April. I think that's really, was that my timer going off?
It was, yes.
So I won't take any more time. I would just like to end with gratitude again for the team and our desire as leadership and board and just a member of this community to get into compliance and remain in compliance from this point forward. And I thank you for the opportunity this morning.
Thank you. Okay, so project proponent has spoken. I have one card for an individual wishing to speak in support, and that is Kurt Weaver.
Good morning. My name is Kurt Weaver. My address is 6050 Aaron Court, Weed, California. So I think myself happy to speak to honorable commissioners this morning on this important application. Although I live in Lake Shastina, some 50 miles from JH Ranch, I'm quite aware of it, and I'm familiar with the property and the goings on there. By virtue of being a volunteer there, I have become an advocate of their purpose and a supporter of their practices and activities. The ranch is a beautiful property, which is wonderfully kept and staffed by some of the nicest, most sincere folks I've ever met. It's been my personal observation that JH imparts great value to its guests and visitors. The impact of this reaches across the nation and into our community locally. The economic impact, of course, on local businesses is obvious, but the spiritual impact is important. JH Ranch and its programs have touched hearts of thousands of people, visitors, and guests throughout the years, and it translates to the positive effect on generations of families. This is something that's immeasurable, yet very tangible through testimony and observation. Some of this impact is local to Siskiyou County and Scott Valley. My personal involvement, which is so richly positive, has led me to plead with you today for favorable consideration of this application and a yes vote for its approval. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, at this time I do not have any speaker cards for anyone in opposition. Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition? Or I should say, anyone else wishing to speak in support first? Okay, opposition. Any need to rebut at this time? Nope, okay. There's a lot to rebut, I see, but buckle your seatbelt, it's about to begin. We will go ahead and close the public hearing then and take it up to the commission for what I'm sure will be probing questions. And this time I'm going to start to my left. Commissioner Veal.
I have a question.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling okay.
Okay. Commissioner Lindler.
So, yeah, I have questions. So my, you know, my big concern is always fire safety. People here on the commission hear me talk about trees and forests almost every meeting, but that's the driving issue that I work with on a daily basis. So with that, and maybe this is for CAL FIRE, as far as the French Creek Road, I was reading comments that it doesn't meet 4290. What's your thoughts on that?
So, Kent Cunningham again, Deputy County Fire Warden, Deputy Chief Operations for the Siskiyou Unit. So, yes, 4290 requires access in and access out, right? Two different roads, but we don't have, there's no new construction going on, there's none of that, so we don't have a way to enforce 4290 per se. That it's since the construction went on in 1993, it did not come through our shop for 4290 compliance. It was granted that way. We don't, unless they...
So there's no timberland conversion?
No.
Jake Burgess, Deputy Chiefs, Cal Fire Siskiyou Unit. I'd just like to add that, you know, in the 4290 process, the applications we received have no comment currently, but if there was any additional use permits or building in the future, then that would trigger a new 4290, right? And they would have to bring whatever that project specifies up to the 4290 standards, but because it was in the past and there was no 4290 enforced, there's nothing to enforce for us.
And then what about structure protection?
As in, like,
as in 4291?
Yeah, so we've had nothing but positive interactions with the DH Good. Ranch. Our inspectors go out there every year. They're very compliant.
Good.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have for fuels.
Any other questions?
Let me circle back.
Wow. Okay. I will. We're, pinch me, am I awake?
Commissioner Mello. My only concern was fire safety, and it was addressed.
Yeah.
To the point of compliance, they say they go out and they inspect and stuff, so.
And I can explain
why.
Oh,
you want a second bite at the apple now?
Well, yeah. No, I just want to explain why. Because, you know, a lot of my concerns have been addressed with the understanding of the CEQA process, in that, you know, in my world, we have to use remediate. But with this, with what they're doing now as the baseline, mm-hmm. then a lot of the concerns, I'm not, and I've not been there. So I, you know, a lot of what I'm hearing, the concerns, are going to be mitigated with this being the new baseline and then moving forward. Mm-hmm. So outside of that, it would be, the public health and that sort of thing, which we'll get to those questions.
Okay.
Because one of the things that I brought up the last time this came up is if they do any new construction, then everything has to be at the current rules, correct? Okay. They just stated there's going to be no construction, they're not going to increase the inhabitants, and they are inspected regularly. So, at this point, that's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner Hart, before I...
No questions at this point.
Holy cow. This is rather bizarre. Okay.
No, it's not.
I'm not going to ruin a good thing, though. I'll run down my list.
This is just like what we've had with Kirk.
Exactly, and that's why I'm surprised there weren't a few more questions. So I'll dive into the questions that, in my opinion, have not, I would like to see more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is going, I'm going to start off with, I would like, for the record, I would like Public Works, if you would be so kind as to come to the podium and share what the county's future plans are, if there are any, of any improvements on French Creek Road from the confluence of Highway 3 to where the county jurisdiction ends at the top.
Okay, Tom Deaney, Director of Public Works and Road Commissioner. There are currently no plans for improvements on the roadway that you mentioned.
Okay. Are there any future plans for improvements of Miners Creek Road from its confluence with French Creek and where county jurisdiction ends prior to its meeting up with French Creek?
No.
Okay. So no improvements, it is what it is. Snow will be removed, and if there's a slide, it'll be cleaned, and that's it.
That's correct, maintenance activities only.
Okay. Are there any future plans for changing, modifying, or replacing any bridges, particularly the French Creek Bridge, south of Little North Fork Bridge?
No, maintenance only.
Maintenance only. Okay, we have it on the record. Thank you, sir. Next set of questions. Page 12, there is mention, let me bring this right there. Let's see here. It must be in, I'm in one of seven, so it's not going to be technically page 12. There's 507. Nope. Let me jump back up here. Wasn't there discussion of a proposed, hold on, I may have gotten this confused with the other one. Okay. Was there potential for a new pond? No. Okay. I know. The page 12 reference was from Kidder Creek, because I'm comparing, using these as, we've kind of had a precedence mm-hmm. of what we went through with one for this one. In the Kidder Creek project, we had a lengthy discussion of potential hydrologic impacts to surrounding neighbors. It is apples and oranges, Kidder to French. Okay, I know both very well. Either Mr. Hinkle or Mr. Whipple, would one of you like to explain on the record, question one, the effectiveness of your Israeli water purifier and its lifespan, how it has been operating thus far, and how long you expect it to continue to operate? And for those who don't know, this was ahead of its time piece of technology for dealing with waste.
Kip Whipple, my address is 1800 East Side Road, Etna, California. I'm their Director of Compliance and Special Projects. Mr. Wessel, you might be able to answer into this too. The bioreactor is a bug-based reactor plant that is monitored monthly with grab samples sent back to the state monitoring what our effluent emissions are, specifically in our nitrates. Life expectancy is basically indefinite because those bugs keep renewing themselves. There is a set of drapes that go in there that will need to be periodically maintained. It's not a major project. It's very simple and easy to do. So it's, units are stainless steel, so we are very much controlled and regulated by the State Water Resources Board in regards to that.
Is this wastewater or?
This is wastewater.
Yeah. It was pretty impressive when it went by and the way they got it up there.
Yeah, it was state of the art back, I think, in 2005, and the technologies have kept increasing since then. So it is one of the most efficient and cleanest effluent systems out there. Correct me if I'm incorrect on that.
It's an advanced wastewater treatment system, which has specifications that are monitored.
How's it powered?
It's electrically powered. We do have backup generation on it, so it, in case of a power failure, it does operate through that. There is also a standard septic system with leach fields as an emergency backup on that.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure we had that on the record. Okay, there's my water question for now. Next question. Might as well jump to Mr. Shinoni. During the Kidder project, you were very involved in that one as well, especially as we were talking about the various types of fires and how each type or class of fire could respond under certain situations. And maybe I missed it, but I didn't see a discussion on this JH project of the similar detail and consideration of a slow, a medium, all hell's breaking loose, and we've got 30 minutes to get out situation for JH. Could you explain, for the record, why that was not a part of this proposal? do you believe it should be before we act on this proposal? Is that something that is appropriate for this project proposal?
Yes, thank you, Brian Shinoni, Director of Emergency Services. So with that, as we saw, and we saw the lessons learned throughout the Kidder Creek, especially this year with the Shelley Fire, we took that and moved that forward with the JH project. And we have been out, or I've been out, we've been out multiple times through communication, in person, emails, and we wrote a PACE plan, so primary, alternate, a contingency and emergency plan, so with routes and a step-by-step in their emergency action plan on what needs to happen during each event, whether it's an on-site fire versus an off-site fire, what that looks like for emergency planning, what that looks like for us on the county side of it, and then more importantly, what it looks like for them and their incident command structure on the ranch during. It was not in the PowerPoint, but it is available, as well as their plan and their road and contingency plans for evacuation. With that, we've spoke multiple times regarding what does that look like if there is a significant fire and the camp is occupied. Same rules apply with JH as they do with Kidder, is that we're going to punch evacuations, we're going to punch early, and we're going to pull people out in warnings.
Okay, before you continue there, what you just said. So when we approved Kidder, it was when their area got put on warning, evacuation would occur.
Yes.
Which is exactly what happened with the Shelley Fire.
To the T.
Yeah. It worked exactly how we had approved it.
Yes.
Is that, can you tell me where in the findings and conditions, because I did not see it spelled out in the same manner as with Kidder Creek, where when warning was placed, evacuation will occur. Haley?
Yes, Haley Lane, Planning Director. Let me scroll down to the conditions of approval. So we have, two conditions in there. One is related to...
Can you give me the page, please?
Yes.
Because I would look through it multiple times.
Okay, so that this would be page 14 of the whole 148 PDF. Is that what you're...
Yeah, I'm on the electronic version, so are we in the first group of seven... First group of, you said 14.
Yes, page 14 out of 148, the conditions of approval are.
There's findings.
So it's after the resolution.
Okay, I'm in conditions.
Okay.
Condition number five.
Yeah, so five and six. So we formulated this similar to Kidder Creek. So I think you're probably, are you getting to the 95th and 97th percentile kind of information? So, because that was our memory too,
yep.
Right? And we were like, what the heck? So we go back and that information is embedded in the memorandum, the MOU that Brian created with Kidder.
Okay, so the MOU was separate from the project. Does that MOU exist currently between OES and JH?
So, for the Planning Commission's knowledge, we don't write the MOU until everything's checked. Right. So,
okay.
with Kidder, once everything was checked, it went to the board, it was approved, then we built the MOU based off of those conditions required by the board. So, as of now, we have a very nice blank MOU. It just is not written to the standard that the board would want to see.
Okay, so it was a unique situation with Kidder because it took so long from start to finish that the actual MOU got written.
Yes.
It was done before when we did the final approval because of everything that had taken place and the time allowed. Okay,
right.
That answers that question. Please continue.
With that, safety, the understanding of what could happen with our fires in Scott Valley, as we saw in the Shelley Fire. The folks at JH Ranch have been extremely helpful on that. And back and forth to revision, multiple revisions, to the point of wording. And in my opinion, as the emergency manager for the county, as a plan writer, those went exactly as we would want to see. I wouldn't change anything as the plan's written right now, and especially with the evacuation and the PACE plan that we wrote, just because we know how it works, because we, unfortunately, we did get to test that with Kidder.
Okay, so before I let you go and open you up to the rest of the commission, what I'm hearing you say is that the MOU that will be developed between OES and JH will look very, very similar to with Kidder, that when warning is in place, evacuation of the camp will occur. Because that worked beautifully for the shelling.
Yes.
And my fear is that if we don't have similar here, something other than good could occur.
Right, so excellent point on that. That is what will our MOU will build upon. The one point that I do want to make, and we saw this in lessons learned with the Kidder, is that Kidder or any camp that's going to be JH, whatever that looks like throughout the county, will be separated into its own zone. So it'll be a JH zone, it'll say JH, whatever the number is. Kidder is going to be the same. We're working on all of that right now. We do have the ability now, we did not back then, like technology is a year old, but we did not have the ability to layer in buildings to our zoning. And now we can do that. So that's going to definitely simplify everything for us. So.
Okay. Have you personally driven the alternate ingress egresses that are presented in this project?
I have driven them, and I have run them, and I have ridden my bike on them. Yes.
Okay. So, how recently?
Right before the snow, I rode. It was a.
Did you do Little North Fork? Did you do the Little North Fork route?
Yes, on my bike.
Was the gate locked or open?
The gate was locked that day.
Okay, that brings up my question here. That gate is right above the pot growers. And what do we have in place if we're needing to use, you laugh, it's Mexican Mafia up there. I don't go up there unless I'm packing.
I'm Italian, so I don't have to use that.
No, it's a bizarre situation, but that's a whole other story. That gate is predominantly locked, and I would argue is probably one of the better maintained roads for an alternate exit from JH. What plan is in place if that gate's locked?
That, in my opinion on that, and I know that a lot of the fire does the same, is they carry that universal key, and I would highly recommend that same bolt cutter and get through that.
Okay, so the bolt cutters, I can tell you, don't work on that one because of the way that root growers put it in. It is protected from bolt because it's in a pipe.
It's in a pipe.
You need a key.
So we can look, we can call fruit growers and get that as well.
They don't own it anymore. That's the problem. That's why I'm bringing up this conversation.
Yeah,
it's now privately owned.
Okay.
And I'm not sure the individual who owns it would really like to talk to anybody from the county. There needs to be a backup plan for how to handle that gate, because that is probably the best maintained in-out other than French Creek Road.
Is it owned by FWS?
No. The last name is Asian. And is fronted by Mexican.
So is that private or county?
It is now private. It has been private. It was fruit growers, Georgia Pacific, then went to.
So is there an easement to use that road?
There is an easement, but the problem is that gate was very well put in by a timber company. Then it sold, parcels did. And there is an easement of an. We have an easement to access water rights up at Siphon and Smith, but the key that we had to the lock that used to be on there no longer works.
And just for my clarification, that's the North Fork French Creek Road?
Yep, the gate that's directly across the middle bridge.
And that is our, basically our contingency route, because we're getting people out before that comes.
Right, but if we had one of those bad ones that started to the north and East and French Creek Road has issues, that's going to be your way out. So I just want to make sure then that in the MOU we have a plan to get rid of the gate.
Copy that.
Yes.
That's private road.
Yeah.
So how can you?
It's still act so. Under the, if you go onto the parcel map, there is still easement, and there is through there to Kimber and to U.S. Forest Service.
So how come it's locked?
That is the reason I'm asking the question here, because it has remained locked after fruit growers in Georgia sold it. But the key...
Is it a private easement or is it a public easement?
It's both.
Well, then why is the gate locked?
That's why I have Mr. Shinoni here and I'm asking him what's the contingency plan for handling the gate.
Shouldn't Public Works be in the middle of this?
It's not county road.
Well, you're just telling me it's a public access.
It is public access to
a county road.
Not a county road. It's to U.S. Forest Service. It accesses JH Ranch. We have a private easement to access Siphon and Smith. Fruit growers used to have access to it. Georgia did. Plus their foresters. The public uses it quite regularly, but they stop before they go across the metal bridge before you enter Forest Service land, which borders JH.
It sounds to me that there needs to be an easement search to confirm.
Yes.
Find out what's legal and what's not.
Because the other gate that went to the north has been removed.
And I'll speak with Forest Service on that as soon as we're done here and get clarification on why and what that lock is doing and why it's...
Or as long as JH... manager has a key that actually works in that lock if an emergency arises.
Okay. Yeah, that's the easy fix.
Or in the case of like Kidder, just make sure there's a reciprocated easement for emergency ingress.
Yeah.
But what if the property owner says no? Then what?
Well, then there's a whole other issue there.
Well, that's why I'm saying when we go forward here, we all of a sudden you're putting a roadblock on the second easement.
And that's a discussion that needs to be had. And I tried to have that to get a key because that's how we access one of our water rights.
So,
can you show me?
Pull that up. Pull up Little North Fork.
So there's French Creek.
Miners Loop. French Creek.
See, Miners is
it's going to be over here. Are you touch screen?
Yeah.
Okay, you need to come this way because you're all the way at Homestead already. Little North Fork Road is right here. And you go across the metal bridge here. It is right there about where the F is on Fork. Right there before the turn.
So that's one of their alternate ways that they may not have.
Yes, it comes in and allows them to access out that way. And it is well-maintained road.
Yeah.
The chair?
Yes.
The fact that other entities had this road and they were available for public use, is that true?
I explain that.
No, the farmer wanted to go down the road. Can he drive down the road? Was there always a gate on the road to start there?
That's before my time, sir.
Yeah. No, the gate wasn't put in until 2003.
Okay. There used to be a thing called prescriptive rights.
That's not how it works.
Not how it works anymore. Welcome to the new world.
Okay. Yeah, well, I've been in this new world for a while. So,
so I wanted to bring this up to you, Brian, because it's something that... If it can easily be solved with access to a key, that needs to happen, or that could cause a problem.
Sounds good. I will track that down.
Can they just put a chain on the lock instead of in the box?
The gate's not designed that way. That's a good one.
Well, I understand that, but can't you just tear the box off, cut it off, do something, and put a chain?
It's piped like this, sunk in concrete.
Yeah, because I got into one time. Many years ago, go fishing where I shouldn't have been. And that's another story. But we caught the hell out of the fish. So anyway.
So,
Commissioner Hart.
If there's no public access through that, are there dead water here?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is public access, and there is a public easement.
But you're telling me there isn't. It's locked.
It's a complicated situation.
It's no more complicated than Sheeprock Caltrail. We went through with 5 years of lawsuits.
So, with fruit growers, with Georgia Pacific, and who did Jimmy cut? Jimmy Johnson. He was the last one to thin up there.
Timbervest.
Timbervest was the most recent. That gate remained open during the summer.
So if it's Timbervest, I manage that road.
And the general public, there was a parking area up there. There was public access to the forest. It was the back way to Meeks, Payne, but, Smith, etc.
But just because there was public access
doesn't
right. mean there's an easement.
Correct.
That's right.
But if you look at on a title map, there is noted easement for access for water rights, which is us. And then there are two other stipulated. In the wintertime, first snow, the gate would be shut.
But you're telling me now it's shut all the time.
It's been shut nonstop since Timbervest sold it.
Yeah, I think we need to look at the easement and evaluate if that's an alternative route.
Right, and again, that is a very, very alternate route.
Very alternate, yeah.
Yes. But if we're using that, we have not gone through all of the steps that we've already written in the MOU. And with that being said, if I'm using North Fork French Creek and we're coming to a gate, there is a serious lapse in what we have done prior to getting to that point.
Okay.
And that's something that the MOU is already going to address. And I can equate this to using the very back route of North Kidder where we were saying it's going to be overlanding. Like, if we're doing that, that's something that myself, local agencies have not done the correct job in getting to the point that we're really needing to chop gates.
Okay. I'll let you continue then. Because I knew that was based on the routes raised the flag.
Right. So with that, and then to bring that into closing, kind of did, but we have worked on multiple plans to ensure that we're public safety is our utmost goal here, and that we're getting folks out of that area quick and safely, and we're not having to use overlanding routes. We're not having to use these back crazy routes. If things are moving to that direction, then we have not done something right. And that's one of the things that for me as emergency manager, for me as part of the evacuation protocols, that we didn't do that. And Jay Tranch has been a fantastic partner on that in building those what ifs, and that's what we do, and that's what we look at. We don't, want to make sure that we have that plan. We do have them in their own zone, or shortly will be in that zone. They do have additional public alert and warning systems. They have on-site for me being out there. We've been able to really check the boxes of lessons learned from the Kidder Creek. Pending that.
I got a question for her. If they have a fire near there, does CAL FIRE respond?
Absolutely.
Does the Forest Service respond?
Yes, absolutely. So in Siskiyou County, we have what's called the closest resource concept.
Yes.
So the closest resources will be dispatched to respond.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything further, Mr. Shinone?
Pending any questions, that's all I have.
Any questions for Mr. Shinone?
I'm still having a hard time with this. Public access easement. How can you go force something on somebody that owns the property and you got a gate on it?
By no means am I saying force. I'm just saying it's listed as one of their alternate routes.
I'm looking at it here and I'm going, before we wade into a legal fight.
And when we had Kidder, they created that new
right.
to
right.
Patterson, but there were landowner agreements that took place right. that allowed that to happen.
Right. So before this goes forward, that agreement needs to be in place with whoever this person is that locked the gate.
If they're going to continue to have that route as
right.
one of their alternatives. Correct. That's why I brought it up to Brian. It's something he may not have been aware of.
Cover that, yeah. We'll run that down.
He's aware of it now.
Okay.
I think I'm done with questions for you at the time, Brian. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
My next question, set of questions, will be for JH directly, but CAL FIRE may weigh in on this. We'll see. Do you have on staff or as a consultant for this project, a licensed forester.
Kip Whipple, once again. We do not have one on staff. We are in the process of getting a forester from our local resources to do an evaluation and put together a fuel reduction plan specifically for the ranch. We're also working with the Scott River Watershed Council in a proposed fuel reduction plan that they're involved in trying to grant. So we've been doing that with them for the last 2 years until we get that funding in place.
Okay, so that you're singing the proper tune for my ears. For staff, Ms. Lang, I know when we did Kidder Creek, I believe it was Mr. Larrabee,
correct,
did an extensive survey, identified disease, dying, dead, and had the prescription for what needed to be removed, mm-hmm. over what period of time, as well as identified fuel breaks that mm-hmm. were in place, were going to be expanded, and yet to be built. Mm-hmm. Is that a condition that, similar to what we did with Kidder Creek, is that their plan with their licensed forester was a condition as part of the project, so we knew that it was not a one-time evaluation. We're looking at this into the future, so that fuel load definitely was not a potential limiting factor.
Sure. So related to fuel load, it's not explicitly called out, and that mostly being because nothing new is being proposed, right? But we do have a condition, and I'm trying to go to the sheet, that states that, you know, the ranch must be compliant with all state and local laws that are applicable to the property. So we do have that, but in terms of...
Is it, but to my knowledge, fuel load management... Mm-hmm. is not technically a law or an ordinance, mm. but we had it in Kidder.
Yes.
Is that something JH is willing, obviously you said you're looking to bring on a licensed forester to do that survey to assist you. Is that something that JH, Mr. Hinkle, Mr. Whipple? Yeah,
most definitely.
Okay.
We've been actively removing our standing dead ourselves, but yes, we do need a management plan to take care of the ladder fuels. And we do have a ridgeline fuel break that was put in 5 years ago. It isn't contiguous around the property yet, since we haven't been able to fund that. We've been doing that work self-funded. Okay. So
I would like to see that as a condition,
okay,
similar to what we did with Kidder.
Yeah.
That would allay, I think, many of the concerns of opposition letters that I received.
Sure.
Commissioner
Lindley. Well, I just want to disclose, I was one of the foresters you called again, and that if I end up working with JH Ranch, I would have to recuse myself from this project. But is there any conflict with me being here now?
No.
Okay. And then I wanted to show you, is that the section with the gate? Because that's my managed property, which I didn't realize that was, but if that's your gate, there's French Creek.
That's Tim. No, that's Timmons Road.
Okay, just want to make sure.
We're further this North Fork Road's up here.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
And the next section. I just want to make sure I didn't have another conflict with
your company divested of that several years ago.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay, so you've addressed the fuel load, fire breaks. The other question I have for you, directly for JH. For the record, there was concern by one entity who was wanted on the record. You're proposing to add two new water storage containers, mm-hmm. For fire emergency, one 13,000 one 10,000, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Or two gold, tanks yeah. that I would fill in 15 minutes. It's not a lot of water, but it's useful when needed. How will those be filled? And can you explain how your plan for their use?
We have a well that was drilled in 23 that would be standalone for filling those tanks, and it would be specifically for fire suppression. So that's well was permitted, delivers 35 gallons a minute, and which isn't much when it comes to a fire, as we all know. But if we can have storage sitting behind us, that's going to help tremendously, because we will have the volume to be able to attack mostly on-site fires, but we can also support fire apparatus, as well as we annually go through and have CAL FIRE come up. We've walked the local crews through the entire facility, so they are familiar with our fill sites, as well as our pond for dipping with the helicopter.
Good. Thank you.
Through the chair?
Yes.
If I may point out, any additional structures to the PD cannot be considered at this time, and those tanks would be identified as structures, because we are baseline with this.
Okay, we'll back the horse truck up here a minute. A water tank storage is considered a structure?
Correct.
Seriously?
Yeah.
By whom?
By the building department, by CEQA. You're adding footprint. I just want to clarify that.
Okay.
So how long does the process take?
So, okay, go ahead. I'm asking your question, but a little differently.
That's all right.
If we approve this project as it is, which does not include fuel suppression aqueous retention facility, would they need to come back before us, or can that be done administratively through the building department or administratively through planning?
So we have to come back.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the cleanest way to go about it would them coming back for the tanks specifically, adding that into the plan.
For wildfire protection,
and then
it would seriously have to jump through those hoops. It couldn't be done administratively.
Yeah, with the PD zoning, you have to have everything in the plan, right? So since that's not currently within the site plan, or described in the document, it would have to be amended.
Could the motion include the addition of those two tanks?
Excuse me.
Commissioner
Fuel. Oh, go ahead.
I said, could the motion include the addition of those two tanks? Right now?
No.
Not existing.
Because it has to be permitted.
It's not baseline.
They're not part of the current baseline.
Well, okay, let me just ask, it's not just the baseline, it's whether there's a fair argument that anything new would create a significant environmental effect. Maybe, maybe not, there'd have to be a fair argument. So, slightly adjusting the baseline still might not trigger CEQA anyways, or still might come with an exemption for small structures. Obviously, staying completely with the baseline is by far the way to be safest. But otherwise, the question is there a fair argument a significant environmental effect is going to be triggered by these structures?
Okay. Commissioner Mello?
This is public safety.
Doesn't matter.
Does not matter. Sadly, it doesn't matter. I agree.
Sadly, I like that word.
Sadly, it doesn't matter. I've been trying.
Excuse me, yeah. One more. We go through all this stuff, caring about the safety of the individuals that may be there. And now we have to go through a permit to put a damn water tank there?
Well, it's not just a water permit. There'll probably be a timberline conversion as well, because you can't convert timberland to a non-timber use. So depending on where it is, like if it's out in the meadow, they're probably okay, but if it's out anywhere along these adjacent roads, they'd be considered timberland. I can't even widen a road for fire safety without a timberland conversion permit.
Their avenue
ridiculous.
To do similar would be to go buy two used water tanks, water tankers, tender trucks, park them next to the well, three of them. You'd have 30,000 gallons. They'd be filled, and they'd be parked there, and there's no permit necessary. Nothing else would be triggered.
Okay. On wheels.
On wheels. Okay. All right. I am done with my immediate questions. Back to the commissioners after.
I had one question. And again, I'm not as familiar with the property, but I'm looking at a map and it shows like Homestead Lane has access through French Creek, but then I don't see that road in the documents that are in front of us from the planning department. Is there a reason for that? Because is that considered a secondary access point to French Creek?
That access is residences.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's residence?
Yeah.
I went up there.
One of my good high school friends lived up there.
So that's not a, I'm just looking at alternative routes out of there still. So the pinch point then.
French to Minor.
But getting out of the camp, it's just the main entrance there as it comes into French Creek. So, I'm just looking at a bottleneck of, they're, you know, red engines are trying to get in and we're trying to get people out. You know, that was one of the reasons, like with Kidder, they had to have two access points. And I'm just wondering if that could be an access point.
If this does go through to come out.
Okay.
This route comes out and then if you come down here, there is.
I can make it bigger. And maybe
this
roads.
Is the primary, and then this is a secondary. But basically, you have these two that are pinched, but then. Right
so they
down
can't
here,
use that road, and that's why it's not on the map? In the county?
Well, it was to get out this Miners right here.
Yeah, I'm familiar with all
instead
that.
Instead of going down Creek, you'd come up and cut over.
Yeah, no, I understand all that. Yeah. It's just getting out of the camp onto French Creek to then disperse. That was my only question.
I think what Brian brought up is that part of the MOU would be similar to Kidder.
It's just that they...
It gets evacuated first, foremost, boom, immediately on warning. Then that traffic is gone and it's left for other residences, emergency vehicles, etc. Other questions? Really? Okay.
We got the water and the sewer. Those were other questions I had. Got the fire piece.
So, prior to me entertaining a motion, staff has the additional condition to be worded similar to Kidder Creek in relation to the fuel load survey and fuel load reduction plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And to evaluate the easement?
Yes.
That alternative
and,
route.
Well, what I'm not sure, is that is staff it? Or OES or JH needs to take a look at that potential easement
mm-hmm.
issue on Little North Fork. It may be a mute issue, but you know, as Brian said, it would be good to have that as a backup should it be necessary.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be part of the motion.
If we're going to approve the resolution for this language, I don't advise just to leave it at throw in whatever Kidder Creek had with that. I think we should actually describe the language as part of the motion that we want
to
have.
Do you need me to bring,
so
or do you
I
have that
so
language?
I looked at it. So it's actually, it was, for Kidder, it was embedded with the within the MMRP. So we could say something such as prior to issuance of the use permit, implementation of a fuel loads reduction plan conducted by a registration or a registered professional shall be completed. That's pretty much what it said in the MMRP.
Yep. That's what I had highlighted
okay.
as well.
Okay.
And that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Just add it now.
Is that fine, Counselor?
That's fine.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm so not comfortable with this really.
Well, it's
how
not.
How do we go put something in and hope they work it out? And then they come back and they don't work it out, then where are we at?
Through the chair. So that's one of the alternatives, right? I think there's like five identified.
Why are we even discussing this alternative?
And yeah, and so within the conditions of approval, it states that the EVAC plans shall be, you know, reviewed annually by OES, and so it would be under his discretion to update or modify those routes as he seems fit. So potentially there would be a modification within the EVAC plan that would occur.
My concern on that is not major. It's a minor concern because I know there is a French to minor which can come out. You have French proper.
Right.
That one would, getting out a little North Fork would be really nice to have.
If not, you can go to Cherry Creek.
But you could also head, yeah, due south and head to Sugar.
Right.
It's not a deal breaker for me.
There's plenty of options there. Just so long as we're not creating a legal morass for the county,
right.
Because this property owner is going to say no. Yeah, we're trying to force something.
No.
No.
I brought it up solely so either OES or JH could have a conversation with the landowner. Could we have access to a key should an emergency arise? Bringing it onto the radar.
And then through the chair, I just wanted to add two more points that I forgot just so it's on the record. So there was a small modification to the plan development master plan. There's three pages that I printed out for all of you just to review. So under the programs section of the plan development master plan, there is the, it's on page 10, 11, and 12 of the PD plan. There's the parent-child program, the Cloud9 program, and the a student leadership program. And then additionally, there's a one-week men's program that's offered throughout the summer months, a one-time, one-week program, 75 participants. That's embedded within the 505 occupancy, but that was omitted from what was posted. So I just wanted to make sure for the record that's in there. But in no way, shape does it, you know, alter the occupancy by any means. And then additionally, I forgot to add that CDFW added a comment letter, and that's before you all in the record, but I forgot, sorry. So, and within that comment letter, they did state, you know, a wish for JH to continue compliance with Fish and Game Code, but I think the condition that we have that they should meet all, you know, applicable state and local laws and regulations, would fit that need. So I just wanted to add that before I forgot.
Okay.
I just wanted to say one thing. Is your guys' copy of the PACE plan and the other addendums or appendixes clearer than the versions that we've got?
The electronic
ours are really
scanned.
Oh,
hardly read them.
There's a second version at the very end.
Of like the site plan and
that,
the
EVAC
plan
found,
that are cleaner.
It was cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should have mentioned, I did print it out and, in case I noticed that too, but it was just the way it came, the document was.
Gotcha.
You guys don't need to see this then? Okay.
Before I entertain a motion, just a general comment. No, I'll wait for discussion on the motion. It'd be more appropriate. Commissioner Veal?
Yes, I'll make a motion. I move that we adopt the resolution PC2025-001 of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, conditionally approving the use permit UP-24-16 and recommending that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors determine project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act and amend the JH Plan Development Master Plan by approving zone change Z23-06 together with these fuels reduction comments by Planning Director Davey.
That's condition number 18.
As condition number 18.
Okay. Is there a second? Hart,
also.
Commissioner Hart seconds. Discussion on the motion. Two items. Number one, I would encourage prior, should this vote pass, before it goes to the supervisors, identify your locations on evacuation for your livestock. I know you don't have a shortage of places to take critters, but that was beneficial for Kidder Creek. And secondly, I think it would be imperative that staff include the conversation, or at least the mention, that there is an existing permitted use of the restaurant within the PD that was omitted in ours. Make sure that's included.
Okay.
Any other discussion on the main motion? Okay, so this is a
roll call.
Let's hear it.
Commissioner Hart?
Yep, it is.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Mello?
Yes.
Commissioner Lindler?
I'm going to abstain.
And Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Chair Fowle?
Yes. Let the record show 4 in the affirmative with 1 abstention. And the project is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me, through the chair?
Yes.
I just want to make a comment. It's approved, basically, at this stage. And kind of address the conversation that Mr. Hinkle had earlier, right? And for the record, from our department, the history of this project, knowing that it's been somewhat contentious in the past with lack of participation from the JH Ranch and their staff and so forth, leadership. I'm looking at this as a turn and fully expect that we have full transparency and cooperation from JH Ranch moving forward. This is a huge step in the right direction, hopefully. Just want to make it for the record that now we will have something in place, potentially with the Board of Supervisors approval, to actually enforce much better ongoings with JH Ranch. Just want to make that for comment for the record and for our constituents.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a topic for the last 20 plus years that I've been on this commission. Through 6 planning directors. So, thank you for getting it to this point. Appreciate it, commissioners. All right. Next item on the agenda. And yes, OES, Cal Fire, thank you all for being here. Kent, we'll see you Friday night.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, Jake.
Good to meet you. Thank you.
Bye, Mr. Burgess.
Item.
See you later.
Do we need to take a 5-minute break before we run into item 3? Janine, you're okay? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 3, discussion. GP update.
No major discussion other than we're gearing up for the special meeting March 5th.
And we all got letters.
Correct.
Yep.
Yes, we did.
Mr. Hart requested that, you know, there would be a meeting between, you know, some supervisors, some commissioners. We had reached out to Supervisor Howe, and he respectfully declined. He had concerns related to the Brown Act, so he just wanted to make that known.
So the topic of the meeting again is what?
Special meeting general plan update related to the visioning and guiding principles. You all really enjoyed the comments, you know, from the tribe, so we're going to be reflecting those into the guiding principles and then having a larger discussion with our partners that we've been working on reaching out and sending formal letters to, and you know, hoping we get good conversation there on the 5th.
But it'll be planning commission only, not supervisors, correct?
Correct.
I was looking at something different.
Okay.
Does that mean?
There's two different things there that I...
Okay, fine.
So, have you gotten any response from all the different organizations in the county about wanting to participate?
I'm going to defer that to James because he's been the...
We had one response so far by email. That was the Mount Shasta Ecology Center. Nick Joslin?
The Bioregional Ecology Center.
Yeah, they'll be present on May 5th, March 5th.
So if nobody wants to participate, then why are we going forward with the meeting?
It was the request of the commission.
No,
so,
I know, and
yeah.
I'm right. I'm, you know, yeah. We're just wasting everybody's time.
Because I was hoping that
sure.
we would have from Cattlemen,
too.
Farm Bureau, Karoo,
yes. right. Shasta Nation. To participate.
Yeah, we also reached out to Corey Hayden over at Siskiyou EDC. She's been a great partner to work with to push out, you know, items. So she's been working on her front with that. I haven't, I'm going to meet also with Allie Kutz, our PIO, for her to push the meeting out further, you know, wider range of folks to see if we'll get more participation. At this point, we haven't really received anything formal other than the Bioregional Center.
Why waste everybody's time
doing
that when we can bring this back as a regular item like we had last month
at
our next meeting and be done with it and gone?
We can totally.
I would say we've had the special notice, so we have it on the book. Counselor, how
you could
far ahead of time can we cancel? Does it need, is there a window?
No, you can.
We posted a public hearing. I don't know if that went out. Do we need to back that?
Because of the new law that requires 20 days notice for a zone change.
Well, this isn't.
There's a new, well, it is.
Oh.
And
well, we cautioned on the side of error, right?
Well, we did, and so the notice has already been out and been posted, and it's been in the paper last week, so it's...
Okay. Yeah, so there's that.
Okay, so it may be like we used to have in the day, one of us would show up to call it to order, no quorum present, adjourn, and we're done. I had to do that once, you had to do that once, so that may be the situation.
Okay.
Let's stay in communication.
I want to hear what council has to say.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think. Just because we publish a notice of public hearing doesn't mean when the day comes we can't decide to cancel the meeting now and have a notice posted on the door that the meeting is canceling. I guess, do we want to inconvenience the public or anyone who shows up? And on the other hand, we're just going to have one person here to adjourn the meeting anyways. It's kind of the same thing. I say if the Planning Commission wants to cancel the special meeting, and it's unfortunate the public notices have gone out, and so long as it's posted, you know, here, the meeting's been canceled, I think I'm fine going ahead with that as well.
If we were to do it today.
If you were to do it today, exactly. Yeah, not try to force anything.
Yes, sir. It's not clear whether or not people will show up. I think if you cancel it now, you don't give people the opportunity to show up on March 5th, just because they haven't responded to the invitation saying we'll be there. It's not typical people say, oh, I'm going to show up at the public meeting. They just show up. And a lot of times you also get late comments. In our invitation, we requested that they submit electronic comments if they can't attend. So it's likely we'll receive those comments. And then staff as well is looking to move forward with the general plan update. So if you were to cancel this meeting, you would simply push out our deadlines for another month, I would say.
Well, and through the chair, today would be the last day I could get it to the paper to be published in time for the March 19th meeting. Because of the 20-day requirement.
So we may be better off to keep the date, have the meeting, have the discussion. If people show great, if they don't, we'll have it internally, and we will direct staff to move forward with the GP.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
So done.
And Tony brings the cookies.
Number two. stemming from my comments last meeting, federal wilderness buffer zone.
I'll talk to it. I think I've sort of taken my lead on it.
Are turning, aren't they?
The wheels are turning. I did talk, well, not too fast, but I did talk to the county administrator's office to let them know this was on the radar. And this is the idea last time discussed about creating an agreement between a county or multiple Northern California counties and the federal government, I suppose specifically BLM and or U.S. Forest Service, to create a buffer zone between private properties of sufficient distance that it would greatly alleviate perhaps fire concerns and insurance concerns. Of course, at that time, this is a project that's in the name of the county, so kind of it has to stem from the Board of Supervisors, essentially. So I'm going to suggest that this be brought to the Board of Supervisors, if Planning Commission so moves and directs me to. I will bring it to the Board of Supervisors for their approval to go ahead with this. I talked to the CAO's office beyond that, and they said they would take research, have to examine the viability and all that. I know Commissioner Fowler, you said that various congressional offices, at least Doug LaMalta's office, was favorable to the idea. But it will take some staffing behind that. I mean, certainly, it's certainly not an area I'm used to. I don't have any expertise in. And we would want to rely on some people somewhere to help us to find fuel loads for this agreement. And probably Mr. LaMalta's staff would probably, or we might do the agreement, they might actually draft the federal legislation. The appropriate way to go with that. But I think what I would look for is a motion to go forward essentially by to direct staff to bring this to the Board of Supervisors.
And I would be full support of that. I would also encourage in the language for the maker of the motion, should it be made, that it be stressed to work collaboratively with our neighboring counties. I know Modoc County is looking at this and already has kind of a template with BLM. I know that Shasta and Trinity are very interested, as is Lassen. That discussion particularly came up with the latest National Monument, which is now in changing again. It could even extend over as far as Del Norte, Humboldt, Mendocino, the northern upside-down food, so to speak. But I would encourage collaboration with other counties moving forward, which would take it beyond just congressional district. You could add two more, which would gain favor, because I know Congressman LaMalta is looking at this type of a project. He got the school funding off his desk and into committee. This is kind of the next one, so it's time is of the essence.
Okay. I would just say that when you talk about thinning, you better have a place to go with what you thin. Linder and I have talked about this, and it makes a little sense to thin and leave it on the ground.
Right.
And so.
I have a question on what the proposal is, because I was here, not here. Could you just enlighten me on what the idea is?
I was looped into a conversation and it stemmed out of the Palisades, Southern California mess, and looking at, with the new administration, the potential to create fuel load reduction buffer zones between U.S. Forest Service land, BLM land, and private property. We have private property owners who are doing due diligence to reduce fuel load to save private property. We have no management on federal lands and creating a, essentially, perhaps it'd be part of the forest plan, but a buffer between wilderness and private, so that the private owners aren't taking it on the head every time there's something due to mismanagement.
Is it just wilderness, or would it be all federally managed?
It'd be
Forest Service.
Federal managed land, BLM and Forest Service.
Okay. When I see
Bodoc, obviously, yes, it's called forest. It's more high desert, chaparral. Yeah. It's BLM.
I just see wilderness, yes. And I think of a wilderness designation.
Correct.
But you're talking more global, federally managed land.
Yeah, correct. Correct. That's
right. Okay.
Because we have a lot of private property that borders federal land.
I'm one of them.
And they can't get fire insurance except through FAIR, mm-hmm. California FAIR Plan, which they can't afford. We've got to change the dynamics.
Yeah, I agree.
So insurance can be purchased and loans can be pulled out, and we're not basically killing the small businessman.
Yeah, I agree. I just saw wilderness and I wasn't thinking they were going to be able to do much in the wilderness per se because you're limited. Okay, no.
So counselor is looking for a motion to move forward on this. As chair, I prefer not to make the motion because I'm of the Roberts genre,
where
the chair does not make motions unless necessary.
So the motion, we need to direct the Board of Supervisors.
Direct staff to bring this matter to the Board of Supervisors for a proposed agreement from the federal government to create a buffer zone.
So I'll make a motion to direct staff to bring it forward to the Board of Supervisors to develop federal legislation to create a safety buffer zone around private property and federal land, managed land.
In a collaborative manner with other counties.
As amended.
Is there a second?
So moved.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Let the record show 5 in the affirmative. Motion passes. Future meeting is March 5th. That's our special one. Followed by March 19th. Any correspondence we need to know about? Mm-hmm. Staff comments?
Staff comments, first of all, I think that's the right decision to continue. Once we start something, we should finish it as far as a special meeting. But you had mentioned you wanted to set up an agenda for that meeting. Perhaps we can address this currently or after, shortly after the meeting is closed.
We might have appropriate time following this meeting to discuss potential agenda, yes.
Okay.
If not, I might stew. We'll have a discussion and I'll stew on it, maybe call you in my way home or wait until we late or somewhere. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So, other staff comments? Commission comments?
Nope.
Cool. Wow.
You
never thought it would happen on this day of all days. Adjourned.